Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey. Southampton Village officials are weighing their options to fill the police department's top job after just three people passed a recent chief exam, complicating the nearly year-long candidate search. Vera Chinesi reports on Newsday.com that Southampton Village Mayor Jesse Warren said of the eight candidates who took the test administered by the Suffolk County Department of Human Resources, Personnel and Civil Service on March 6th, three passed, potentially narrowing the village's pool of candidates. The list could be deemed ineligible or broken if at least one of those candidates is not interested or eligible, which could open up other options for the village of Southampton. What might seem at first glance as a very limited list, it largely would be considered a broken list if any of those candidates are not reachable, Warren told Newsday on Wednesday. Then we would have more flexibility to appoint somebody provisionally or go back to the prior list. Civil service law allows the village of Southampton to hire someone from the list, or if it is broken, the village could choose from another list of candidates who passed an exam administered for the Westhampton Beach Village Police Chief position in March of 2021. That list expires October 1st. The village also could appoint someone else provisionally after the Westhampton Beach results expire, or appoint someone who is serving as a chief in a police department elsewhere in the state outside of New York City. The board has not decided how it will act, said Mayor Warren. A village search committee is screening candidates for the job, for which Southampton has received about 10 resumes, according to Mayor Jesse Warren of Southampton Village. Southampton Village Mayor Jesse Warren says he has brokered a partial solution to allow Shinnecock Indian Nation members access to a popular village beach, but a tribal member advocating for access said it's too little too late. Mark Harrington reports on Newsday.com that Warren said this week he worked with a local nonprofit entity to pay for 100 passes so Shinnecock tribal members could park at the popular Cooper's Beach. Members would need to show a tribal ID card at the gate to get one of the free passes. The one-day passes are for Cooper's Beach only and would be given to the first tribal members who request them at the gate. If all the passes are not used, Warren said some would carry over into next year. The nonprofit, he said, wished to remain anonymous. Some 200 tribal members and their supporters rallied at Cooper's Beach in July, asking the village to make parking free. Tila Landback-Troge, a Shinnecock tribal member and attorney who advocates for tribal land rights issues, said the offer falls far short of any kind of solution we're attempting to reach, and it doesn't get to the heart of the issue of Southampton Village restricting our access. Mayor Warren noted our beaches are public and anyone can use them, and that the fees apply only to parking, which costs $50 a day or $500 for a seasonal pass. Governor Kathy Hochul announced yesterday that New York State police are reporting a 104% increase in gun seizures this year, statistics boosted by a months-long investigation that resulted in the recovery of a large cache of firearms and the arrest of multiple suspects who were involved in a gun trafficking ring. The successful investigation was conducted by the State Police Gun Trafficking Interdiction Unit. The State Police Gun Trafficking Interdiction Unit was created last summer to target the trafficking of illegal guns in New York and conducts complex, long-term investigations that focus on mitigating the source of the gun supply. One day after a fire at an unpermitted vacation rental home in Noyac left two sisters from Maryland dead, the head of town of Southampton code enforcement said he hopes the tragedy might serve as a cautionary tale. I think this tragic event really underscores the importance of following the process of legally renting and of making sure the property and proper safety inspections take place before renting, Southampton Director of Code Compliance and Emergency Management Administrator Ryan Murphy said, adding, and maybe renters will ask questions about permits and safety inspections to make sure they're protected too. John Valenti reports on Newsday.com that the probe into the fire's cause and whether any code violations were connected to the blaze is still incomplete, according to officials. Valid renter's permits require a safety inspection either by the town or private licensed service. Southampton Town Police said Jillian and Lindsay Wiener, 21 and 19, died as a result of the fire that swept through the rental at 3 Springs Lane in Noyac early Wednesday morning. The two were members of a family of five from Potomac, Maryland, who friends said rented the house for a week using an online service. Officials have not verified the service used to rent the home. Lewis Weiner, 60, wife, Elisa, 52, and their son Zachary, 23, all escaped the burning home. Murphy said on average there are between 3,500 and 4,000 permitted rentals in the town of Southampton. He said one hard and fast rule for rentals, whether a year-round residence or seasonal summer rental, is that the permit process requires a mandatory safety inspection, that all properties require a minimum 14-day stay. The Riverhead Town Board this week authorized the $20 million purchase of the Peconic Bay Medical Center's 2nd Street campus for use as a new town hall. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that the board also authorized borrowing in the amount of $21.5 million, $20 million to cover the purchase, and $1.5 million to cover costs of improvements and renovations at the new site. The purchase includes a 3-story, 36,000-square-foot office building, a 2-story office building, a bank branch occupied by People's United Bank, and a 2-story wood frame house that has been converted to office space. It also includes a large parking lot on the corner of Railroad and Roanoke Avenues, which is more than 160 spaces and would provide additional municipal parking in the downtown area. Riverhead Town Board members say they plan to relocate offices from the current town hall at 200 Howell Avenue, as well as town offices located in other buildings, including the building and planning and accounting departments and the town historian's office. The move will allow the town justice court to be relocated to the current town hall from the cramped building it shares with the Riverhead Police Department next door to Riverhead Town Hall. PSEG Long Island and Stop and Shop are teaming up again this summer to collect food for Island Harvest Food Bank, and will be collecting food donations at the Riverhead Stop and Shop today from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that the second annual Power to Feed Long Island Summer Long Food Drive started with a collection July 1st in Massapequa and consists of 6 collections at Stop and Shop supermarkets in Nassau and Suffolk, including today's event in Riverhead Stop and Shop from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Food insecurity affects more Long Island families than people may realize. In fact, hundreds of thousands of Long Island families struggle with hunger and food insecurity throughout the year, exacerbated in the summertime when children are not in school and they can't receive free breakfasts. The double yellow stripes running up and down Town Line Road make up the official dividing line between the hamlet of Waynescott and the village of Sagaponack in East Hampton and Southampton towns, respectively. But where it divides, it will also now unite, albeit in the wake of a tragedy. On June 30th, an 11-year-old boy riding his bicycle on Town Line Road was struck and killed by a pickup truck backing out of a job site south of Montauk Highway. Christine Sampson in the East Hampton Star reports that Sagaponack Mayor Bill Tillotson and East Hampton Town Supervisor Peter Vonskoyek agree that it's time something is done about dangerous traffic conditions in the area, not just on Town Line, but on connecting roads too, before another disaster occurs. Local lanes were simply not meant to handle the enormous volume of vehicles using them right now, the two officials said this week in separate interviews with the Star. During Tuesday's East Hampton Town Board work session, Supervisor Vonskoyek suggested that adding additional stop signs where Town Line Road meets such side streets as Waynescott Main, Daniels Lane, Hedges Lane, and Parsonage Lane. Town code requires a public hearing each time a stop sign is considered in East Hampton, though the board stopped just short of scheduling such hearings. Councilwoman Kathy Burke Gonzalez said she wanted to hear first from the Waynescott Citizens Advisory Committee, which is to meet tomorrow. Sagaponack is taking safety improvements a few steps further. A sidewalk is being proposed for the village's side of Town Line Road, as it's a turnaround at the beach road end so that emergency vehicles can navigate more easily. Sagaponack will also direct property owners to get rid of anti-parking devices on the road. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.